Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. So, morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Not feeling too bad. Pleased about the snow you've got. Sun shining here.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock this morning, I think, to most people, and to the gritters as well, which were not out overnight. So, interesting times over here, KB.
Not as disappointing as Leeds losing 3-0 at home last night.
Yeah, that was really disappointing. I mean, I think most people thought it was going to be a tough task against Wolves. They're flying at the top of the championship at the moment. But not the result anybody wanted. And some interesting comments from the coach afterwards, maybe sort of pointing fingers at certain things that are happening at the club. And the owner as well, Andrea Reggiani, tweeting about Wolves itself, saying that the league should be fair and equal to all 24 teams.
Well, yes, that's okay, but then how do you do it? Always, I've had lots of experience of this throughout my career, particularly in football. Something should be done. You're right, what would you do? Well, I don't know, but something's got to be done. If you want to change, the best way of doing it is come out with your proposals on what you would change and how you would change it. But anyway, let's get back to Leeds. That's a really interesting point. We're now, 13th? Club below us has a game in hand, and we have a lousy goal difference. So I think we can forget playoffs. This is a last-minute conversional run, and we're safe from relegation. So what we should do now is what I've always practiced in the past. Again, I'm out of date now. I don't know how good the recruitment and youth sides are, and the Neil Redfern were fantastic, but that's not a story. So what we should now be doing is bloodying the kids. Only two or three a game, because you don't know until they've played in the first team if they're good enough. And don't forget, Leeds has always wanted and been proud of their homegrown players. This will give them an opportunity of, first of all, getting over their initial nerves of making their debut, etc. And then finding out the way the team play, how the coach wants them to play. So that then at the end of the season, you know, or you've made your mind up, as to which ones are going to make it, which ones aren't. If they're good ones, then you extend their give them extended contract and a rise to get them tied in. And then you also have a clear out the ones aren't going to make it. Now, we have to remember the problem is always in the middle of the season, a new manager comes in and he comes in with what he's inherited and who we have our contractual obligations to. So there needs to be a round table conference behind closed doors between the chairman and the manager and the coach on a one-to-one basis, what they want of Leeds, what have they got, what are they short of, what are they strong in, and then build from there and start planning for next season now. And that's always been a good way of doing it. It also means you work out now who you want, where your weaknesses are in the squad, identify who you want, start early conversations, and as soon as the final whistle goes, you move in and seal your play, get your new players, get them in. Or if they've got to move, they move. You're all in the close season. So when they report back for training, all that's been resolved. Players are fit and fresh. And you hit the ground running. That's how you build a successful club. But it takes time and patience. So the Boo Boy's got to take a holiday. If the manager, the coach we've got, is the right one, then we get on with it and get behind him. And there's another way to run a football club.
Some interesting times at Leeds at the moment, KB. But also interesting is what's been happening with political symbols. And the FA chief got himself in a bit of a tiz early on this week, Martin Glenn.
But if you think about the problems that the FA are facing in so many different areas, you think you have more important things to deal with than the colour of a yellow ribbon. Nothing lengthy. I'm quite surprised and disappointed with them. I think you'd have better things to do. Simple as that. I think Gardiel is entitled to wear his badge. Not going to give offence to anybody. And as you said, it's not a political... He's objecting to the fact that senior Catalan politicians are in jail without trial. And I thought, if the guys are guilty of something, well, put them on trial and punish them if they're found guilty. If they're not, release them. But detention without trial is what used to happen in the old apartheid South Africa. Happens in the Arab world, like David A being locked up for 22 months without trial. And I believe it happens behind the Iron Curtain. Not appropriate for a country that's a member of Europe, EEC, EU, etc., etc. And as I say, I think Glenn made a big mistake. He should button his lip, get on with running his business, which is English football. Including perhaps looking into the complaint that the Leeds owner just made.
Well, moving on to other things that have been happening in the world of sport as well. Sir Bradley Wiggins, Team Sky, in a bit of hot water over some drug usage that was one of these TUEs.
But Darren, this has been going for bloody years.
This has,
yeah. It's resolved by now. But more importantly, people at the top, when they together, they should act decisively instead of waffling and fudging. I mean, there are no doubt. Well, it's been proved, I believe, that there was a Russian drug taking in Sochi. And so why are they still being allowed to stage the World Cup? I thought it was disappointing that IAAF fudged the issue by saying they leave it to each individual sports to make their own decisions. That was cowardice. Either we allow drugs and get on with it, or we don't allow drugs, and anybody who steps over that line, we're out. That's into it. And also, the point is that I'm sure Sir Bradley Wiggins is a lovely fellow, but does he really need a knighthood for pedalling a bike faster than somebody else? Knighthoods and life peerages used to be honours. Now they're just handed out with the rations. Bit like English international caps. There's another example of a fudge. When I was at the FA, I proposed. And what happens at the moment, you stick a kid on the 88th minute of an international match, and he gets an international cap. He's not an international. And I propose that if you've got a cap, you'd have to play at least 44 minutes of the game. And the international committee fudged it. They agreed to leave it to the manager, Ericsson at the time. Of course, he wasn't there to make trouble or give offence, so he just let it go. The English cap means nothing. I remember when Jimmy McElroy was playing, he was my former Burnley, who's my player manager at Oldham. He got 57 international caps for Northern Ireland. And in those days, those years, we only played them. Northern Ireland, Wales, England and Scotland just played each other three times a year. There were three games a year. Now, those 57 caps were an achievement. Some of them, you know, you play, I don't know, Andorra, you get an international cap. Is that the same as playing Brazil or Argentina? Well, got to lead from the top, and we're not. There's no excuse for drugs, and they should be banished, and so should the perpetrators of the abuse. But don't hold your breath.
No, we shan't hold our breath. Before we just touch on to Brexit, as usual, KB, do you want to mention something about these two guys over in Syria who want their British passport back?
Well, they should be told to go forth and multiply. The situation is they left England, or UK, just now it was illegal. Fight for foreign war. In something of which we have no official interest. Whether they're brainwashed or radicalised, as you call it, that, you know, they decide to break the law and go abroad to kill people. And they had their passports cancelled. I think the citizens cancelled. Well, now they've been caught, they weren't killed. They're lucky they're caught. Now they're surrendered and they're now asking for all the rights that they had before they broke the law. Well, I say to hell with them. Let them rot where they are and stay there. We don't want them back. What's in it for us? If we bring them back, we'll have to house them, put them on trial, give them legal aid, cost a fortune in the trial, presumably be found guilty and sentenced to probably a weekend at Blackpool or something, the way we treat them at the moment. But on a more serious note, probably 10, 15, 20 years, I don't know. Sure, we've got the cost of feeding them and looking after and cooking for them and everything else for 10, 15, 20, whatever they said. And meanwhile, they have all that spare time, tell the hard luck story, which may influence other young people to go out and fight other people's wars. No. We keep hearing about human rights. What about human responsibilities? You come to the world with nothing. If you're born into a rich family, well, you have a monetary advantage. If you don't, you're born coming poor like me. You get on with your life, and lots of other people like me, get on with your life and you achieve what you want to achieve. You take the rough with the smooth. If you make the bad decisions, then you have to suffer the consequences of them. No, leave them there. Pays me that much easier. Won't have to monitor them, supervise them. Ease the pressure on the police, the prison system, and more worthy causes. And having got that off my chest, we now come back to Brexit. Now, there are so many misleading and contradictory signs coming out of Europe, but they have been doing that for a couple of years now, of course, anyway. But the EC and the Union was a club. We joined the club. We obeyed the rules. We paid all our membership dues. Cost us a small fortune. But one of the conditions, or one of the clauses in the agreement is you can leave if you give the appropriate notice and act appropriately. Well, we've done that. We held a referendum. The majority said we want to go, get out, which declare an interest. I must say I support. However, I must also say that Suzanne and I, neither of us voted in the referendum, that we had the right to do so. And the reason we didn't vote in the referendum, because it was wrong that our votes, even only two, would affect a way of life in another country which we wouldn't be participating in. So we didn't think he was right to decide other people's lives for them. That doesn't stop having his opinion. But nevertheless, because we are interested in current affairs and that sort of thing, and the future of the UK, we've taken a keen interest in what was going on. We started off with Garnier, Tusk, and Schultz, or whatever his name is, I can't remember, Juncker, threatening, bullying, and being very, very rude, very discourteous. And by the way, these people are called diplomats, but that's not the story. Going on and on and on, to which we took no notice at first. Now, like all bullies, if your bullying doesn't succeed, you've got nothing left. There's no shots left in your locker. We're going to do this, or we'll do it. Get on with it. Oh. And since we have about 13, 14, or 20 billion deficit, in other words, we buy more from Europe than they buy from us, so they start putting all kinds of sanctions. Who's going to suffer? The working class in the little towns and villages of the EC, that make a living from producing stuff, they sell to England, UK. And although we would suffer, won't suffer as much, because we can make up the deficit. Our farmers can grow more food than we grow now. It'll be cheaper, it'll be fresher. And the French farmers will starve. And we reduce our balance of payments situation. And the same with the fishing. All the French and Spanish fishermen, their boats will be tied up. Then what they'll be doing to feed their families. Our fishermen's boats will be restored, revived, and out they go. So I do see in the paper this morning somebody suggests we may give the Europeans some fishing rights. Well, that's only if we get something in return. We don't need their fish. We've got plenty of adequate sailors, able sailors, to make a bloody good living and revitalise coastal tech and the industry. And maybe we'll have something people don't know. I'm just illustrating this as an example. I went to a restaurant 2 days ago, and on the menu was smoked Scottish salmon. Now, I'm not an expert in this, but I happened to be reading a very interesting article about a year ago. What's the difference between smoked Scottish salmon and Scottish smoked salmon? Well, Scottish smoked salmon is usually in the wild, caught off the Scottish coast and smoked in Scotland. So it's homegrown. The smoked Scottish salmon is usually farmed salmon, and it's shipped to the Netherlands where they smoke it in factories. That's smoked Scottish salmon. So don't forget, next time you're out for a meal, see on the menu, ask which it is. The joke about it is, I'm not going to mention it by name, but the restaurant I went to has all this prattle at the bottom which says, our food is the highest chosen, sourced, fresh this, fresh that. You know, every bit of bullshit you can think of, right? Next time I see the manager, who's a friend of mine, I'll point out the slight discrepancy between the two in his menu. Anyway, moving back to the main thing, what we should be doing, but if we are doing, we're not going to tell anybody, but by running away in the depths of the Whitehall civil service, they should be making planning if there is no deal Brexit. Now that will cause a few problems, particularly in the Republic of Ireland. We are the biggest trading partner. We buy a lot more from them than they buy from us. So instead of the Europeans using the Republic of Ireland as a bargaining point, the Republic of Ireland should be lining up with us and giving the EC what for. But behind all that bullying and bravado, EC have got a few serious problems. You've now got Italy, have a divided government to be. You've got a weak, divisive coalition in Germany. Hungary and Poland are at odds, you see, because they don't agree some labour laws and immigration laws. And they're changing their judicial system. Mr. Macron, you're doing what the French always do, putting France first. He's making changes. So this monolithic world speaking as one isn't true. And what our diplomats are doing are going around and talking to the 27 countries individually, unofficially, side how pointing out the implications for them if we don't get a deal agreed. So I'm very optimistic. And forget all these statistics produced by statisticians who make assumptions. And then, of course, the BBC happily pick up the headlines and broadcast them, but don't bother to put both sides of the story. And they print all that, produce all the headlines and repeat them without checking the facts behind them. Meanwhile, we haven't had the 500,000 unemployment extra forecast by Osborne. In fact, our unemployment is the lowest, 40-odd years? Employment's on the rise. Investment in the UK is on the rise. More jobs are being created. The government now wiped out the deficit. The budget deficit, they've got $11 billion more than they thought they're going to have. They can use that to pay off debts instead of handing out in foreign aid. No, we're in good shape. Everybody's got to talk from, but behind the scenes, that's where the work's done. That's where the discussions are done. And that's where the plain talking's done. Not in the carefully rehearsed press conferences with the participants read from a sheet of paper. And Jeremy Corbyn continued to live in La La Land, all his communist supporters and communist leanings through ISIS, the IRA, and every other terrorist organisation. And let them live in their North East London Lulu Land and the rest of the country get on with it. And the important thing is, in the industrial belt, where the majority of people voted for Brexit, the local political parties want to have a look at their MPs, because the MPs go to Westminster to represent their constituents, not to impose their ideals on their constituents. So maybe there are a few Remainers should lose their seats for the next election. And Tony Blair can still spend his time waddling around the world, picking up hundreds of thousands of idiots who want to listen to him, and John Major can learn to wear his shirt outside his underpants instead of getting involved when he's past it. I knew him quite well one time, very disappointed, very weak, just a fudger. So let's get on with it, and that includes Leeds. Come on, Mr. Owner, Mr. Coach. Have a 1-1. A away for a weekend, if necessary. No conference. See if Chequers is free. And come out talking over the same hymn sheet. And finally, congratulations to the English ladies. They lost the final. They've done very well. Came the second best in the world. And they look so happy doing it. Well done to them. Also to Mr. Neville.